My colleagues thought it a glorious day when the bridges were destroyed, al-Bashir remembered. A magnificent day. The faithful around the world celebrated their great victory. The nine were overjoyed at their success. Al-Bashir had smiled and congratulated them, especially the Egyptian who had brilliantly directed the complex operation. Three bridges destroyed. Nearly 5,000 Americans killed, many of them Jews. A day of wild celebration. But to what end? He asked himself. The Americans swept into the Middle East in overwhelming force, and no one would gainsay them, not even other Muslim nations. Terrorism is the tactic of the desperate, the weak against the strong. Like a child throwing a stone through the window of a mansion. Yet it has its uses, al-Bashir conceded. In this long war we can use terrorists, both suicidal fanatics and brilliant planners like the Egyptian. But the war will be won as all wars are eventually won, by economic power. Mao Zedong wrote that power comes out of the barrel of a gun, but one must have the money to buy the guns. We will win this war because we will control the economic power of the oil industry. We must ruthlessly suppress any challenge to that power. Ruthlessly. 2 days later, al-Bashir was in Houston, sitting at another conference table, much longer and more gleamingly polished than the one in the dilapidated Khartoum Hotel. The boardroom of Tricontinental Oil reeked of wealth. Its walls were paneled with redwood. Its long sweeping windows looked out on the city of Houston, far below the lofty level of this skyscraper. The room was air-conditioned to the point where al-Bashir felt chilly. Texans and their air conditioning, he thought. Conspicuous waste of energy, flaunting their affluence. A table laden with drinks and finger foods ran across the back wall. The opposite wall was completely taken up by a new kind of computer screen that the technical people called a smart wall. Unfortunately, it wasn't working properly this day. The board members had to rely on the small screens set into the table at each seat. Like the other men around the table, al-Bashir wore a conservative Western business suit and tie. Even the women were dressed in tailored blouses and skirted suits. But crusty old Wendell T. Garrison, sitting in his powered wheelchair at the head of the table, was in shirt sleeves and a black onyx bolo tie, its silver-tipped strings hanging halfway down his wrinkled shirt front. He looked like an evil djinn, al-Bashir thought. Shriveled and wizened, his bald pate speckled with liver spots, the wisps of his remaining hair dead white. But he has great power, enormous power. Just the touch of his fingertips can move nations. This is the man I must defeat, al-Bashir told himself. To gain control of Tricontinental Oil, I must overcome Garrison. The board meeting had been quite routine. The only real item of contention was over the corporation's involvement in Iraq, where Tricontinental was rebuilding the Iraqi oil fields under contract to the U.S. government. The profit margin was slim, but Garrison insisted that they renew the contract at the same rate.
When the reconstruction is finished and we start pumping oil again, he said in his grating, rasping voice, that's when we up the ante with the feds.
One of the women halfway down the table pointed out that Washington had promised to turn the oil fields back to the Iraqi government once the reconstruction was finished. Garrison gave her one of his patented sour looks.
Yep, they'll hand it back to the Iraqis, all right, and specify that we run the operation.
Under contract to the Iraqi government, the woman added.
Under terms that we set, Garrison said flatly.
Al-Bashir said nothing. No one asked his opinion. He was content to leave it at that. Finally, Garrison rasped,
that's it then, unless there's some new business.
Al-Bashir raised his hand. Garrison had already started to back his chair away from the table. Frowning, he said,
Mr. al-Bashir.
There is the matter of the solar power satellite to be considered.
Brows rose around the table.
Astro Corporation? They had that spaceship crash, didn't they? They're finished, going bankrupt.
Garrison's flinty eyes went crafty, though.
What about the solar power satellite?
I believe we should invest in it. That brought actual gasps of surprise. Invest in the competition? Help that madman Randolph? He wants to drive us out of business.
Al-Bashir folded his hands on the table's edge and patiently waited for them to quiet down.
Garrison made a hushing gesture with both his blue-veined hands, then asked,
Why should we invest in that pipe dream?
Smiling at the board chairman, Al-Bashir calmly replied, There are several reasons. First, it would make very favorable publicity for us. The public sees us as the big, bad corporate giant. For years they have been fed stories about how the oil companies suppress any invention that threatens their grip on the world's energy supply.
One of the older directors humped, The pill that turns water into gasoline. I've heard that one all my life, just about.
Exactly, said Al-Bashir. By lending Astro Corporation a helping hand, we show that we are not such monsters. We show that we are interested in the future.
Mighty expensive public relations, Garrison grumbled. Randolph's going to need a billion or more to pull out of the hole he's dug for himself.
There is another reason also, Al-Bashir said. All eyes were on him. What if it works? What if this solar power satellite actually proves to be successful? Shouldn't we own part of it?
I get it. A strategic partnership, said the youngest member of the board down at the end of the table.
Garrison frowned at the junior director and pointed out in his rasping voice,
If we don't bail Astro out, the power satellite won't work, because Randolph will be busted, so there's no danger of it being successful.
I beg to differ, Al-Bashir said. Even if Randolph goes bankrupt, the power satellite will still be up there. Someone else might buy it on the cheap and make it work. Then they will get the glory and the profits, not we.
Who would be that crazy?
The Japanese, perhaps.
Al-Bashir replied mildly. Silence fell in the boardroom. One by one, the directors shifted their gaze from Al-Bashir to the head of the table, to Garrison. The chairman was staring straight at Al-Bashir and tapping his fingernails on the tabletop, obviously thinking it over. No one said a word. For long moments, the only sound in the boardroom was Garrison's absent tap, tap, tapping.
We maybe could pull a billion out of the exploration budget, the old man said at last. Send a few geologists back to their universities for a year.
The directors stirred to life. A few argued, mildly, against the idea. But Al-Bashir knew that it was merely a formality. Garrison had accepted the idea of buying into a possible competitor. Al-Bashir was pleased. It will be much easier to destroy the very idea of power satellites from inside Randolph's Astro Corporation.
Matagorda Island, Texas.
For a suit, you're not a bad engineer, Tenney said, his dark, jowly face dead serious.
Dan took it as a compliment. He was kneeling alongside the twisted wreckage of what had once been the space plane's nose cap. Tenney was squatting on the hangar floor facing him. Claude Passot stood on the other side of the nose cap, looking almost elegant in his neatly creased slacks and jacket, although he had pulled his bow tie loose from its collar. Even this late at night, the hangar had been buzzing with government investigators and Astro technicians. With Passot's help, Dan had shooed them all home. Now only the three men remained in the brightly lit hangar. The twisted bits of remains from the space plane were laid out precisely in their proper places, inside the taped outline of the vehicle's swept wing shape, exuding a faint odor of charred metal. Every time Dan looked at the wreckage, he felt his guts wrench. But he forced a rueful smile.
Coming from you, Joe, Dan replied, that's pretty high praise.
Passot said, Your degree was in engineering, wasn't it?
And economics, Dan replied. Double major.
And then you went to Japan to work for Yamagata Corporation.
Dan got to his feet. You know a lot about me.
With a shrug, Passot said, You interest me, Mr. Randolph.
Dan.
Thank you. Passo touched his mustache with a fingertip.